Shalakaya Taksun Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivas Adhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. I just got back. I believe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday. And different people have different karma. Traveling is just not my thing. You know, especially since my service entails a lot of concentration and not a great deal of activity. One second, I have to shut my window. I forgot. It's kind of amazing. With the hearing aids I got, the birds were so loud, I left the window open that to give class, I had to shut the window, where previously I never heard the birds at all. So I guess it's kind of working. Everybody has a different type of kind of destiny and things that traveling, you know, my service is so much concentration and focus. It's not that I arrive in Vrindavan and necessarily, of course, the first day I went out, but there's so much of that and traveling, you know, increases the mode of passion and it takes your body 72 hours physiologically to adjust to a place. And and then giving the class, you know, I've so acclimated myself. I so much have acclimated myself to early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, is that expression. And so by 7:30, my God, for me, it's, but I enjoy giving the class so much. But you'll have to excuse me if still I haven't, I know this year has been a little bit different than previous years. There's been a lot more traveling and I haven't really taught something systematically, only what I've been teaching, I'm speaking on. And we were just in Puri, and the objective of the Puri Yatra is to not just tell Gaur Lila, but have people live it. And I really believe we meet that objective. And one of the basis of meeting that objective of living in Gaur Lila is having a community. Because Gaur Lila is a community, and a community means common interest based on the will of God coming through the Acharya, coming this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's common interest. And common interest creates harmony and beauty. Common interest allows people to open their hearts easily and be vulnerable, but that has, but not in a bad way. You know, because if you can't be, you can be open-hearted, and it's very difficult to be open-hearted in the modern age, because what people do with our hearts is so cruel. When they have, when you're just living in a crowd of people and they have separate interests, even the concept of rasa, or transcendental feelings of intense emotion in bhakti, in community requires community, that everyone is one mind. It allows one to transcend the limited I and experience love. You never experience devotion when you are holding the center or vying the center, because that consciousness doesn't allow one to experience love. One important thing about being a loving person is experiencing love. And I'm talking being a loving person in terms of chanting the holy name, is experiencing love. Being a loving person, loving others, it's connected in some ways with experiencing love. Just an example of a family, and I've this is my own analogy, but I think it's so apropos. If someone is feeling entitled, proud, they don't experience love. No matter how much they get, they'll think either they're worth it or they're worth more. And if you get something and you think you're worth it or you're worth more, you don't feel love. But if you think it's beyond your worth, what I'm getting, you're humble, you're grateful, you're appreciative, then you experience love and you become loving. And that's really the essence of Krishna consciousness. If you take the importance of the third verse of the Shikshastakam, which is basically what Lord Chaitanya gave to Rupa Goswami as the Prayojana Acharya, the one who is going to exemplify and teach how to experience love of Godhead, how to be exemplified the goal, which is this experience of the Absolute Truth. And the experience of the Absolute Truth is love. That's the experience of a person whom you have a relationship with is love. So how to experience that love? Well, when you're humble, you'll feel mercy, you'll feel love, and you'll become loving. And that gratitude and that devotion and that humility will enter into your bhajan, into your practices, and give you that taste. And therefore, it says in the third verse of the Shikshastaka, when you're humble, you can chant always. Because when you're humble, you can feel love, and therefore you can be loving. And that gratitude, which is the first budding symptom of the soul, will be added to your bhajan or your practices. Therefore, in that third verse, these are the instructions for one who wants to experience that prema bhakti. Yes? Is there any problem here? Yeah, you can all hear me? It's okay? Can you all hear me? Okay. I assume you can. So this is the essence of Krishna consciousness, to have that devotion. And therefore, for the Prayojana Acharya, these four things were given. This third verse has four practices to attain prema bhakti. And humility is the first, trinadapi, humility. Then the second is tolerance. The third is respect. And the fourth is always chanting. And humility, tolerance, and respect is the consciousness that allows you to chant always. Anyway, so I was mentioning that if you hold the center, if you have that ego, the feeling of superiority or the desire for superiority, and therefore a separate interest, which is your own from the unit, community, partnership, or group you belong, you won't experience love. So the first objective of experiencing Gaur-lila is Sankirtan. Sankirtan means common interest. It gives special feelings of bliss, according to Jiva Goswami. So community. So that's the first principle. So we try to create a community. And one of the ways you create a community is have the community serve the members of that community in a way that the experience of happiness by serving the community is greater than the happiness one gets by being independent and having a separate interest. That the common interest serves your soul, serves your happiness better than your independent common interest. So we try to do that. We don't even charge in our festival, just by donations, and we get so much more. It's really wonderful. And that experience, that kirtan in the Gambira, oh, wow. And we have such such nice prasadam. So it's nice, everything. But that kirtan in the Gambira was, and one of the features of that Gambira, what I was really appreciating is quite a few of my god brothers and god sisters came to the retreat. And they're pure. They've been serving for 40, 50 years. And the way they enter into community, not centering it on themselves, but just by becoming a contributing senior member to the community. Great souls. I can't say, I speak highly enough about Pancharatna and his wife, Atita Guna. Lakshmi Moni was there. People loved her so much. Apurva, you know, these are people that joined in 1970, all of them. Another person who is from New Vrindavan, that served the cows, the bulls there for 20 years, Nityadita, and that kirtan. It was just, and to see all the old men between 68 and 70 dancing as kirtan should be done. When Lord Chaitanya sat before his guru, and his guru told him, I'm now going to give you a verse that's the essence of the Bhagavatam. Lord Chaitanya is sitting on the edge of his seat, waiting to hear. And then Sri Ishwarpuri quotes from the 11th canto, Evam Vratasva Priya Nama Kritya Jatanu Ragya. Chanting Evam Vrata, chanting with determination. In this way, referring to the previous verse, without any inhibition, without any attachment, chanting the names of one's beloved Lord, the names of the God or the form of God whom you have a relationship with, which is Radha Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jatanuraga, from that is born those feelings. So it was really just a wonderful experience, and the facility we have is just incredible. This Catholic retreat center, kind of in a rectangle. We use the courtyard, so you're always in the kirtan of the holy name, no matter what you're doing. And just amazed at the it's really faith in Prabhupada's movement. It's big, so it's many, many things. But the best of it is really fantastic and wonderful. And that people who can buy Prabhupada's teachings, you can really see their bhav and imbibing his teachings, which is the teachings of the Bhagavatam and the teachings of the Gita. People who are really given their life to Guru and Krishna and are not seeking the center, which is occupied by Guru and Krishna, but consciously trying to move from the center so they are in a position and perspective to serve. And having faith in that as the highest, you know, when we had the Pasad service, which means everybody just sitting down and the perfect system, no one's in anxiety, the Pasad is just being served so sweetly. And how many people are almost not fighting, but volunteering that they want to serve. That's a Vaishnava society. I want to serve. I want to serve. That kind of faith makes any relationship, any community so beautiful. As Prabhupada talked about Krishna's taking prasadam with the cowherd boys and the cowherd boys surrounding him in concentric circles and Krishna reciprocating with everyone. But Krishna's in the center. And Prabhupada said, that is the Krishna consciousness movement. That's the image of it, Krishna in the center. And Prabhupada said, it makes everything beautiful and blissful. Just that point, you know. So I think what I'll do today is, you know, I spoke on Gauranga entering the forest of Vrindavan through Gauranga. So every day I spoke about Gaura Lila and how it was connected to Krishna Lila, and then mostly focused on Krishna Lila. I generally speak in those days on what I've been lecturing on during my stay in Vrindavan, which was the 15th chapter, Krishna entering Vrindavan. And just that image of devotion. Devotion, devotion, devotion. There's nothing but devotion in the highest reality. The highest reality is love. And what does that mean? There's nothing but devotion from everyone. And that's the image when Krishna enters into the forest of Vrindavan and the trees and the flowers begin to offer their flowers. And Krishna picks the flowers. The commentators say, and this is a beautiful ontological point, when Krishna picks the flowers, he takes every single thing that is offered eternally because he is Bhagavan. He is the supreme enjoyer. So he's taking everything that's offered, Simon, everything. And not only that, every grain of dust his lotus feet touch because he's the supreme Lord. And there is nothing he cannot do. And therefore he can reciprocate everyone's love perfectly. And that's why, even though there are innumerable living entities, each person can have a fulfilling, rewarding, direct relationship with Krishna. Even the trees, you know, in the trees, it's just a beautiful point. Krishna enters into the forest and he focuses on the trees and he feels compassion for them and also is attracted by the humility of the trees who feel we are in such ignorance that we cannot follow Krishna into the forest of Vrindavan. But Krishna becomes attracted to the trees. And the trees are actually siddhas. They're actually perfected beings. And they're showing the sadhakas or practitioners what is a life of devotion? Because what is the tree? The tree is an offering to Krishna eternally. Because if you understand the spiritual world is beyond time. So even it's, even though Krishna is leaving the trees and going to the forest of Vrindavan, whatever happens there is also eternally happening at the same time. So they're showing people that you offer. This is Krishna going to the forest of Vrindavan. You offer what you have in devotion. And Krishna will accept it if it's offered in love. And the trees are so special because the trees in Braja, there's four things that Krishna says are the basis of the offering of devotion. Because devotion is not just a feeling of the heart. That's why Prabhupada translated it as bhakti. Bhakti is devotional service. It's not just a feeling in the heart. It's an offering. It's of service. And the vehicle of service is, and everything is based, this is, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta priyachati. If you offer me with devotion a fruit, flower, water, or a leaf, I will accept it. So three of the four things, that are the basis of devotional offering come from the trees. So Krishna's having this reciprocation with the trees. He's giving them mercy. He's appreciating their devotion. And also, Krishna has a relationship with everything because he is Ishvara. Ish means the center. Vara means the circumference. He is the center. At the center is that which has a relationship with everything. So God means that which has a relationship with everything. And what is that relationship? Relationship means love. So everything is intense energy of connection and love. Just like the earth. Krishna loves the earth. And why does Krishna love the earth? Because the earth is dharani. Dharani means it holds. The pastimes happen on the earth. So the earth bears the weight of everything. And everything that is needed in Krishna's pastimes is produced from the earth. Therefore, when Krishna goes to the forest of Vrindavan, first of all, his mother doesn't want him to go. That's natural. But Krishna forces the point in so many ways. And because when he is a calf herd boy up until five, he only can go in Vraja. Vraja means Vrindavan. Vrindavan means Vraja. But in a technical sense, Vraja is the township and Vrindavan is the forest. So when he's in Vraja, his parents do not want him to leave Vraja, going to the forest, and then they have to accede only if Balavanti, that he's with Balaram to protect him. And when you herd the calves, you come back at two, the cows, you won't come back until the evening. So he trusts that Balaram will protect him. But Krishna won't wear shoes. Now his mother gets very, very worried. Why won't Krishna? And that's also her love. Everything is intense love. That's why that verse is there, the third verse of the Bhagavatam. Nigamakalpa taro galitam phalam sukha mukat amrita dravya shamyatam vibhitam bhagavatam rasa alayam ahur muhu. It means vibhitam bhagavatam. It's all rasa. It's all this intense affection and love. So the earth, Krishna has love for the earth. He says, I won't wear shoes. And he makes an excuse. He says, well, the cows don't have shoes, and I'm the servant of the cows. The servant can't have more than the master. And then so his mother says, I will make silver shoes for all the cows. But Krishna insists on going barefoot to reciprocate with the earth. Those three words from Prabhupada I love. Krishna is responsive. To reciprocate with the earth. Reciprocate with that earth. Because it's Dharani. It's holding. So he wants his feet. And it says, punya ativam, this makes the earth auspicious. And this is just such a wonderful theme that goes through this whole pastime, that auspiciousness is connection with God. Because connection with God means to feel that love. Prema pumartha mahan. And that is the thing of the most value. Well, the thing that is most valuable is the nature of our soul. So that connection, that makes things auspicious. And the connection is not just physical. It has to, because perception is dependent on attention and attitude. So it means the focus on God and the proper devotion and attitude towards God, the pure heart, the surrender, the wanting to accept God as statir vaikuntha vijaya, the right situation is to accept that God is supreme. It's just natural, just like the right situation of the hand is that it's part of the body. So ativa punyam, the most auspicious thing, is this connection with God. This is also very practical with our japa. We won't perceive the holy name unless we have attention and attitude. God will be there in form of the syllables, but we won't feel his presence, which is, means our heart and love for God, unless we're attentive and we have the right attitude. So that connection with God's lotus feet, that's the most auspicious thing. Therefore, when Krishna enters the forest, there are many names where Sukadeva Goswami can describe Krishna, but he calls him Madhava. Because why? Because Madhava means it means Krishna who's born in the Madhu dynasty, which means what? That the Krishna's connection or birth with that dynasty makes it glorious. Madhu also means the spring. And what is the spring? It is the season that gives life. And Madhava means also the husband of the goddess of fortune. So what does that mean? That Krishna gives fortune. Connection with Krishna gives fortune. And Madhu means Madhurya Ras. Krishna is entering into the forest because he's old enough to take care of the cows. He's old enough to go to the forest. And he's old enough now to have the mature relationships of Sakya Ras and Sringara Ras, conjugal Ras. So his entering into the forest, he is Madhava. He is now going to have Madhurya Ras. So it makes it auspicious. So this scene is quite, and it's instructive too. There's a lot of beautiful philosophical points. One point that particularly struck me is, I wrote about this in Monday Morning Greetings, to be or not to be. describing how the bees are the exemplars of kirtan because they are following Krishna's path. Those who are doing kirtan or anupatam are on the path of Krishna. Bhavadhiya mukhya, and of those who belong to Krishna, mukhya, they are the chief. Gudham, and even though Krishna is hidden, those who are chanting the holy name will realize the true nature of God and be able to, as the bees can enter into the kunjas, it also the path of the holy name as the bees are following Krishna, chanting his glories. That's the point. The chanting his glories enable him to recognize and understand Krishna and enter into his confidential pastimes. But Krishna is called Anaga. Anaga means sinless. And why is Krishna sinless? Because as the bees are clinging to him, which can be very, very disturbing, Krishna is not disturbed. He's just hearing their singing. He's hearing their glorification. And this is such an essential point for us to imbibe and to frankly apply within our lives. And it's very, very sad at the times where the Krishna consciousness movement becomes expedient rather than shastric. It's not always easy to follow shastra. It may not always be politically correct, but Krishna says Ananda is sinless. Krishna is sinless, which means he accepts the service of someone. And not their faults, just like the bees are disturbing in one sense, but he's accepting that they're chanting. So one who is on the path of chanting Krishna's glories, Krishna is accepting them for their service and overlooking their faults. And that's the greatest glory of Krishna, actually. That makes him so special. Anyway, we're just so much relishing the pastimes. And of course, when the trees bow down to Krishna, Krishna as a proper example for us, he deflects the praise for Balaram. A cultured person does not seek his own glories. A call out to Radhacharan. We're fortunate. He listens to these every week when he does his puja. So nice that he could come. And he showed me a video. Millions of people must have watched it. They did something on his life on Chinese TV. It was really excellently done. And it showed his preaching and his cooking courses. It was very impressive. But he never promotes himself. I was impressed with that. He doesn't promote himself. The nature of devotee, that's the nature of devotee. He's not tooting his own horn. And he deflects praise. Especially in the conditioned state, we can take praise for power. Praise enhances our status. Our status enables us to have power and more control. The devotee doesn't want that. It's not their faith. It's not their objective. They want more service, not more control. So, Krishna deflects the praise to Balaram. It's just like when you enter into a cultured Indian's house, they don't want to claim proprietorship. It's the culture. Because it's not good for the heart. It's not good for the consciousness. So even they say, this is your house. This is your bedroom. This is yours. Everything is yours. This type of culture is a very beautiful thing. It's a culture of negotiating the world of ego to find the treasure of praying, treasure of spiritual happiness. So we were just following this pastime and being absorbed. As Krishna enters the forest. And then another nice point is when Krishna enters the forest, all the animals are offering what they have best. That is called devotion. The cuckoos can't, the peacocks can't sing, but they're beautiful. And the cuckoos are not beautiful, but they can sing. So whatever one is expert at, he makes it as an offering to God and offers it with love and devotion. Anyway, it's a very beautiful pastime that we're following Krishna entering the forest and his expertise when he's with his friends and he's with Balaram and they're dancing. And sometimes they're competing for who can dance the best. It's such an incredible scene. Everything is spectacular, including the bees. Krishna loves the sound of the bees. And he imitates the bees. And he's not too loud or too low. It's just so exact. So he enters. So every living entity, every living entity is offering in Vrindavan, in the ultimate reality, is offering Krishna the best. Satam Nisarga, that is the symptom of a devotee. The symptom of a devotee is he wants to please. And how does he know that someone is pleased? It is an energy or a psychology that is obvious. It's not just what you do, it's the attitude in which you do it. And people pick up on it. I was reading of this one sadhu who was very old. He would take care of the cows and then some of his disciples would help. But when he came, the cows just became so happy, even though he couldn't do much. And younger people were doing much more. Why? Because of his attitude. And this is bhakti. We please. It's not even the physical proximity of the guru. It's our attitude. And somehow or other, Krishna becomes pleased. Guru becomes pleased. We become pleased. I was singing at the Puri Yatra. I was so happy with some people, how much they served. They completely won my heart. Because I'm running this yatra and people would serve, selflessly serve. It melts your heart, it wins your heart. And then the service is pleasure and the happiness of the object of our service reciprocating with us is also pleasure. And this is the spiritual reality and Gaur Lila is a contemporary template for that. And actually our lives and our mission is to develop that priti, that happiness in our heart with the enjoyment of Guru and Krishna. And we see this template here. And then all the animals, they're offering their best. And then five, love this, Krishna says, Ajam de danyayam, today we have become fortunate. Again, this word, fortunate, danya. What is that fortune? Is it great wealth? Is it great money? It is the connection with Krishna that brings out the happiness and consciousness of love in our hearts. That is the greatest treasure because everything is for happiness and that is happiness. And therefore, today the earth is fortunate because Krishna's lotus feet are touching its bushes and grasses. And fortunate are the trees and the vines as Krishna is picking the flowers, that they are blossoming and blooming out of love. And then, although it's a distance away, the animals and the mountains and the rivers, Krishna is glancing. How wonderful to be loved by the object of our love. One more beautiful point that was in the past time, and when Krishna is saying to Balaram, look how all these animals are greeting you. And he compares the dancing of the peacocks to the gopis and the singing to the gopis, which is not actually appropriate because Krishna is with, first of all, he's talking to Balaram, and that's his brother. So these kind of feelings, where are the gopis? They're in the forest. Why is Krishna talking about the gopis? And why is he doing it in front of his brother? Because it shows his heart. And what is his heart? I made the point, I read in commentary, that what's in the heart comes to the lips. You have to be very careful what's in your heart, because it will come out. Like Krishna, it's coming out. The next verse also, and he's saying, and most fortunate are the gopis, who the goddess of fortune is not even as fortunate because Krishna's arms are embracing them. So everything is there. The earth get the feet, but the gopis get the feet, and they get the glances, and they get the embraces, and everything. So Krishna's talking about the gopis because they love him, and therefore he's concerned. Okay, I'm going to stop for now. I think I did pretty good for a nighttime for me. Somehow I didn't get so tired. But if anybody would like to ask a question, if not that, say hello. We still have some minutes. Okay, anybody say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Yeah, hi, Krishna.
Yeah, you had said earlier on that loving Krishna is chanting, but it's not just about loving Krishna, it's about experiencing love also. So the same way you expanded on what loving Krishna is, could you do the same for experiencing?
Experiencing Krishna is loving Krishna, because that's the experience of Krishna. The experience of a person is our relationship with them. The experience of a lover is our romantic feeling. The experience of a child is our parental feeling. The experience of a friend is our friendship. So bhakti or devotion is our experience of God. Our experience of God is our relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess in whatever way that relationship plays out. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the relationship is, that is our experience. Just like when Krishna came into the arena of Krishna came into the arena of Kamsa, everyone experienced him in a different way. It was Krishna. But the parents experience him one way, Kamsa experience him another way, the gopis experience him another way, you know, the friends experience him another way. You experience a person according to the relationship with them. It's a different experience. So that's what the goal is, to have that experience of God in our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Quite a few of our members
are with us.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
We missed you in Puri. We missed you in Puri.
Thank you. We missed you so much.
It was amazing. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Shri Gandharika.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Good. Somebody else? It's nice to hear everybody who's on.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vajradhe.
Yeah, it was nice to see you in Vrindavan too. Yes. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopakishore and Jai Shri Radhe.
Haribo. Haribo. Still waiting? Still waiting, huh? Any day now?
Yeah, but what's that?
Any day now?
Yeah. Yep.
Your children they're doing fantastic. Even much better than previous year. They're really doing great. Amazing.
Oh, great.
They're really much more good. Into it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and Keshava won the roti eating contest. Of everyone. He was the last one. And he got the reward of the ice cream in the evening more than the others.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow, that's worth it.
It's worth it. So were the roti.
Yeah. Oh. That's good.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, then we're going to end for the evening. Thank you all. A bunch of people.